This is Apostle Tanya. Most marvelously, we have the blessed honor in this generation to declare our love for our blessed Master. And surely, I am most grateful to serve together with you to exalt our Holy Lord and remindeth the enemy, the earth is thy Lord's and the fullness thereof. Through the revelatory teachings taught by the Spirit of God through me and the most glorious supernatural fun experiences that I have spent in the blessed presence of the Master, I pray that you shall be most encouraged and equipped listening to holy podcasts. I am most surely honored to have you a part of the family. Welcome to Holy Podcast. This is Apostle Tanya, and today I am most honored to thy blessed Lord to introduce to you Elder Amber Lines, CEO and founder of From Pain to Purpose, in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I am most blessed for today's show to discuss a most important topic, wherefore is dear to the heart of the beloved Lord Jesus, and also to my own: healing from domestic violence. Elder Amber has served battered women and children for many years, and I am sure we are going to be most blessed as we listen to her and hear from her and glean from her as she began to share how she is serving the women and children in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Welcome to Holy Podcast, Elder Amber.
Thank you so very much, Apostle. Thank you for having me this morning. I am grateful to be here. It is my honor to be able to share today.
I am most excited for you. I'm honored that you are my guest today and that we have the opportunity to fellowship today. Let us begin, shall we? Elder Amber, would you kindly share about your call to serve battered women and children?
Well, my call came many, many years ago. I've been living in Atlanta for 10 years now, as of this past July. It made 10 years since I transitioned here from Brooklyn, New York, which is where I met Apostle so
yes.
many years ago.
We actually met at a domestic violence meeting.
Yes, we did. And you were a part of the first Domestic Violence Awareness Day that
yes.
I organized in the church at New Life Cathedral back in Brooklyn, New York, back in 2010, I believe it was.
Yes, Pastor Lois
yes.
was my dear sister. Uh-huh.
Yes,
and
yes,
she invited me to speak during that time.
Yes, and I'm grateful to God. Pastor Lois has gone on to be with the Lord
yes.
since that time, and we miss her dearly.
Yes.
But the connection, I'm grateful that we were able to even get reconnected again and to be able to continue ministry for domestic violence victims, women and children. And the call came so many years ago after I came out of a very dark, you know, past and relationship where it was, you know, abusive, and it was in a relationship where it was just unhealthy, toxic. And after living it for so many years, being married and not wanting to be divorced, you want to believe God for deliverance and for God to be able to, you know, mend that relationship so that it's healthy and that your children can have a healthy environment to grow up in. Because children who grow up in domestic violence homes, whether, and people think that, we know people think domestic violence is just somebody beating you up all day. But domestic violence, and we'll get into that, is so much more than that. You can beat someone up with your words all day long. We know that the scripture tells us that the words of life and death lie within the tongue. And so we have to be able to understand, if you're not seeing somebody with a black eye or someone almost killed or someone, you know, walking around, ending up in a hospital, people think that it's not domestic violence. But I had to come to learn. You know it's beneath your privilege. You know it's not healthy. But I had to come to be acquainted with the fact that my home was a home that was referred to by the higher auspices of New York City as a domestic violence environment. So after going through the New York City Family Justice Center as a client there, that's under the auspices of the New York City Mayor's Office to Combat Domestic Violence, after getting counseling and services and so much from that organization, I became a volunteer. I wanted to just give back. We got counseling. I was in counseling for a year and a half, and I stayed in counseling with my son for 3 years. And we just continued to work with the New York City Family Justice Center as a volunteer, just to give back. And they saw in me something special. They said one of their most successful clients at that time, and they sent me to advocacy school, not school, but advocacy training for 4 days in San Antonio, Texas, with all branches of the community that deal with domestic violence. I'm talking law, medical, you know, advocacy, educational-wise, every branch of a government was there, and we were there for 4 days training as advocates and sharing information. And that's where From Pain to Purpose was actually birthed. And I've been running with that ever since.
Amen. Amen. I did not know all of your background. I did not know that. I knew that it was, the ministry was birthed through an experience, a testimony came forth from. Of course, you had your testimony, and it was, the ministry came forth in prayer and testimony. But I did not know the depth of the training that Thy Lord allowed you to partake in to really birth out this organization. And so it is most delightful to hear how He ordered your steps. He ordered your steps for His glory.
Amen. You know, a lot of people don't know the story. A lot of people may think that they know because they knew me at that time, but I wasn't running around talking about my business to everybody. As a matter of fact, I think you would know this, Apostle, that domestic violence victims don't go around.
No.
Yelling from the rooftop, I'm a domestic violence victim.
Well, then, most times while we are in it, you wear a garment of shame. It is, it's
now.
Great shame. Not until until thy Lord delivers. We need deliverance. And not until thy Lord delivers you from the assault, from being bartered, from being abused, and from the shame that sometimes we oftentimes experience in our communities and our churches. Not until we have that deliverance from the Master can we begin to speak freely. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can we really become free and releasing the testimony within us And so it is not something that we would like to walk around with a badge on saying, I am a victim of that. I've always been very private until I was pulled in the front to talk about anything. I used to talk about it with my friends, my sister friends. I don't share anything any longer, but years ago I would talk things over with my sister friends, and that helped me. But personally, I don't share at all. I'm, you know, thy Lord has caused me to be very private. And I know for you, that kind of discretion can also become a wound in it. You know, we can keep things so quiet, our pain so quiet, that those things can become wounds in our soul. We need some place to release that. How did you release it in your personal experience? Outside of that, was there an experience and a season of prayer, is what I think I'm led by thy Lord to ask. Was there prayer also? We heard about the advocacy and training that thy Lord set you on a path for, but was there also prayer? Because we need to release, and mine's is in prayer only.
Definitely in prayer. I did a lot of, I'm be honest with you, crying. That release came through the purging of the pain that I was in. I walked around for many years and still with so much pain. I felt like the woman had the issue of blood. Like I was literally dying. Like the life was like bleeding out of me. But I still had to be a strong woman. I still had to be a woman that had a strong face on the outside, and really that's what people saw. So I wasn't running around talking about it. I wasn't running around. I wasn't even sharing it with my family for many, many years. They were shocked because they didn't know the depth of what was going on. And poetry began to become, once I entered into that space of realizing that this was something that I had to transition out of and transition, because it was so many years. I was married for almost 20 years. Oh. And there were several separations during that time. But, you know, just believing God to keep your home together, you keep returning. And we know that a lot of times domestic violence victims return up to 7 times before they actually leave for good.
Yes.
But the healing process, the release for me came, I began to write poetry as well. And that began to help me through. It was a cathartic tool to help me. And that's why I use the arts a lot with the work
with
that
the
I
youth.
Do. The healing pain through the arts is our youth program under From Pain to Purpose, which is my nonprofit organization that you already mentioned. And that healing pain through the arts, cathartic tool of using the arts to help heal pain, came through not only my journey, but watching my son use his music to help heal his pain and to help inspire other people through telling your story through his music. So that was birthed to be able to give youth an opportunity. And it doesn't have to be domestic violence. It could be any pain, anything that they're dealing with in society. We create collaborative platforms for them to be able to tell their story or just talk about what it is that's affecting them in society today. So that I would say prayer definitely was one. And faith. Can I tell you that it was nothing but the faith, believing God to just continue to move forward to a place of healing?
Yes.
Because there were times.
Amen.
When there was dark times where you was like, am I ever going to be happy? Am I ever going to have and you can see the scars that your children are sustaining. And I don't mean necessarily physical scars. I mean the scars on their spirit, on their heart.
And their
on their
souls,
mental.
In the soul. The wounds are in the soul from being battered.
Yeah.
Even hearing it. Every time we hear negative words, those words are in our soul. We have to even be very sensitive to keep an environment, a very peaceful, loving, holy environment, because each time a child enters in the room, if he enters into a room of hostility and anger and bitter words, those words are entered into his soul. And those things go undetected and they have troubles in schools. And there is so much teaching on this that we can go into it at another time. But domestic violence and the effect that it has on children, and not only on the women, and sometimes men are also abused. The abuse is so catastrophic to the soul that complete wholeness does not come until you begin to attack it in prayer, and also of course use arts as a form of therapy. And I think that one of the reasons why thy Lord used you for that, because I have experienced that writing is therapeutic, and thy Lord is an artist. He's given us all this. Look how he decorates the earth for us every morning with clouds and sky, the cloud, the trees, the landscape that we arise to every morning to giveth him thanks. And so I think that in that he gave you that download of heaven of this is how you're going to help heal the youth that are also in your community facing troubled times, bullies, many things going on, you know, breakups. They go through teens, go through breakups. And so the arts is a gift from thy Lord for us to use. And I encourage our listeners to think about helping the youth and getting involved with the youth more in arts, because that is their language. That's their love language. Arts and music. Yeah. Arts and music.
Yeah. And you know that the enemy has perverted that industry.
Right.
And has made it to become something that is very derogatory towards women. Not nice when it comes to how they are portrayed a lot of times. And that spills over into the relationships that you were speaking about. A lot of times you see very volatile relationships between young men and young women where they're using profanity to talk to one another and call one another outside of their names. Those are the beginning stages of an abusive relationship. Like, you have to teach them to value themselves. You are worth more than someone speaking to you in that nature and calling you outside of your name, because when they begin to use that type of behavior patterns, the next thing you know, it's hands on, and the next thing you know, it's isolation, and it just begins to become that cycle that repeats itself and that grows greater and greater. And we know that domestic violence is a generational curse. If you see it, you can see people who have come down through that family lineage where the mother was abused and now the daughter's abused. And we have to rebuke that and take authority over that and say no longer in our generational line will the enemy be able to take our young men and women, because like you said, men are abused as well. 1 in 7 men are victims of domestic violence abuse, and 1 in 4 women. So, and we have to be able to understand that this is something that is very, very, very serious, and that we cannot blink as the body of Christ. We cannot blink our eyes at domestic violence. And I'm so glad that today in 2022, we're seeing churches even have domestic violence. Some of them are having domestic violence ministries where they're ministering to people in that area. It's something that, it's a shameful thing, like you said before. We walk with that shame, that hidden face where we don't want people to see what it is we're going through. But for the grace of God, we are trying to be a vehicle of healing and having people to be able to transition from a place of pain to be able to walk into that purpose that God has for them. And we just have to be able to understand the foundational scripture for from pain to purpose is in Revelations 21:4-5a, where it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yes.
And there shall be no death.
Hallelujah.
Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Hallelujah.
That is the foundation.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Yes, he does.
So, Pastor, We deserve from being victims to survivors to what? Thrivers. Thrivers.
We're
actually pulling other people out of that dark place.
Yes.
Because God gave domestic violence to me like this. It's three stages. It's the dark, where you cannot see your way. Where a lot of bad decisions are made on your part, you know, where sometimes you don't have the understanding, you don't have the tools nor the resources. And then there's that twilight, that gray area where you're merging into maybe getting some help. You've told someone your story and now you're elevated a little bit, but you're still in that light. You've come down from that laid out dark place to now you're up on your hands and knees where you sometimes you can move forward a little bit. You might take three steps forward and two back, but celebrate that one step. And then as you get built up and get resources and have a support system, you can come into what's called the light, where you're able to lift up your hands and be able to become healed from the past and not look at the abuser as who someone that, you know, look at them with that scarred eye. You can look at them through a healed eye and say, I forgive you. But that only comes through healing. And then you're able to reach out if God calls you to and minister to others. Because everyone that goes through domestic violence is not going to champion the cause. Some people are still, really, their lives are still in jeopardy. So they're not in the forefront and stuff. And my story, like you said, my story, I really haven't been out there with my story. I've been focusing on the work. My story hasn't been the platform. But do you know that of late, of like this past year or so, God has been calling me to tell my story?
Amen. 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 We have to be patient on, you know, unto the Lord. We have to be patient. He has his timing on all of those things. We have to be patient. Elder Amen. Amber, how might your ministry minister to a sister in the Lord who is a victim of domestic violence? How might you be used by thy Lord to minister for someone that is looking for ministry? Would you be able to answer her today?
Definitely. First of all, there's various degrees of what people need. Some people need shelter, and before they can be able to hear what you have to say about God, they need to be in a safe space. So sometimes you might have to create a safety plan. You have to assess what the situation is, how grave the danger is. You have to be able to tap into some of the resources that you may have, because no one local small organization will have everything. We tap into larger organizations, people who we partner with and work with to be able to provide things like that for victims. But as a ministry, to pour into them is to first of all get them to understand that they are not the problem. It is not their fault that they are being abused. And a lot of times that is what the abuser will use as a battering ram, as a weapon against someone to make them look what you made me do, make them feel like, and you know, if someone knows about, oh, I did this. No, you may not, okay, be the person who is actually doing the abuse, but you're actually not the blame either. We have to come to the understanding that the person who is abusing has the issue, and we cannot fix them. So what we have to do is begin to fix ourselves. Understand that we are worthy, that God created us. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we were created in his image and his likeness. He did not create us to be abused. Love is not abuse. So I will minister to them to get them to see the value in who they are and that they have purpose. A lot of people can't see that they have something greater than what their pain, their present and current pain is. So we have to get them to a place of being, having a safe space, being able to know that they have people that care about them and that people that will support them. And a lot of times that may not be family. It may be someone that, an advocate that will walk by your side, because sometimes family be like, oh, she done went back to him. God knows how many times. I'm tired of this. But I will even tell that person, that family member, don't grow weary. Walk alongside them, because right now they may be in that dark space or they may be in that twilight space where they're taking three steps forward and two back. But guess what? Help them celebrate that one so that they can know that they have value, so that they can know that they deserve more than what they are dealing with right now. So I would minister from that position, getting them, assessing where they are, what it is that they need, and begin to minister to them with this resources, begin to minister to them to their value, and get them into a position of being able to receive healing. That will take counseling, that will take other resources, and things of that nature.
Amen.
It's a process.
Amen.
It's a process.
Yes, it is. Amen. Well, that was very, very helpful. Guidance for those sisters that are listening, the brothers that are listening. And what would you also, I want to ask you, would you offer helpful resources for believers and those who may be listening who are in a domestic crisis?
Resources?
Yes, helpful resources for believers. Any resources that they could really put their hands on, books, materials, and also a telephone number where I would like to release the National Domestic Violence telephone number. It is a it's important if someone's in a crisis, even listening to this now, that they know that they can get the help that they need right away.
Yes, a lot of times, as in regards to domestic violence, I would say, first of all, the domestic violence hotline is 1-800-799-7233, which is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. So that is the domestic violence, National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is available 24/7. You have local agencies within every city that are domestic violence resources for domestic violence victims. Spiritually, I would say a lot of times, it's unfortunate, but a lot of times ecclesiastical leadership are not equipped to handle domestic violence victims. And it's something that we as a body of Christ have to take on the responsibility to
Amen.
Be able to be accountable to those who are in our houses of worship.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it's whatever your house of worship is, you need to be able to minister. Not to say that you're going to be able to give that professional counseling that a professional counselor would in that area, but you need to be able to take a class maybe. As an ecclesiastical leadership, I was trying to actually set my church up as a domestic violence hub for training of ecclesiastical leadership before I transitioned down here, but there was really, at that time, no one to turn that over into. That is something that is very important. Ecclesiastical leadership, pastors, those that run the house of God, they need to be able to you got to be like Jesus and be able to be touched with the feelings of their infirmities, because we're human. People who lead churches are human. And a lot of times, if they don't have that experience, no longer can we just say, stay and pray. You've got to be able to tap in, and if you don't have the resources, connect them with someone who does. We got to take that extra step as spiritual caregivers for these people who are going through these situations, because they are so real. But at the same time, a pastor will get weary if they're giving you the resources, if they're helping you, and you keep going back to that situation. So patience, like you said, we have to have patience. That is a big deal. That is a huge part of a success story for any domestic violence victim. We have to have patience.
And as servants,
yes.
We have to have patience. We have to ask for the grace to serve those victims. We cannot
yes.
do those things on our own. It is Christ who strengtheneth us. And so we must
yes.
ask thy Lord for the grace to serve those that are in that are in leadership and that have and are stewarding thy Lord's ministries, they have to have their hearts open to also house a domestic violence ministry, because it is in the church. And so we also have to serve those victims as we serve those who are sick and infirm and diseases. A lot of women lose their life. I served many years ago, about 10 years ago. I always say many, but 10 years ago, about a decade or a little, yeah, about 12 or 13 years ago, I served a woman who lost her sister to, I served many women, but one particular woman was very dear to me, and her sister was murdered, and I believe her sister had four or five children, young children, and so she had already four, and then she had those five, and it put a very strain, of course, on the family, and it is they grieved for a very long time for her sister to be murdered the way she was. And I also knew of another woman who the boyfriend came into, and these are just two stories, and these women, they came from families who pray. They came from they're our sisters, and one of the sisters was working at a cellular phone place in Maryland, and the man came in there and burnt her, you know, set her afire. And while she was at work, the families go through so much. So we cannot turn the other cheek and say that is not our problem. It is our problem. We're a family. When one hurts, we all hurt. And so we must continue the work in serving women and men who are taking care of children that have lost their mother or father. We must continue to make family a ministry and not ignore the family unit.
Amen, amen, apostles. I had a slogan with the young people many years ago. I actually have a video of them saying this motto: what affects the home affects the community, your businesses, and your schools. So what goes on in the home spills out into the community, your businesses, and the schools. You have so many. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, we know that this was a time of what they called a perfect storm for domestic violence victims, because they were isolated with their abusers. Didn't have that opportunity to be able to get to family and to just get that little release of time of not having to be, maybe they were going to work and now they were working from home, sheltering in place and all of that. So it became what was called, and this is all over the world, a perfect storm, where now the abuse has become so much greater. And when it comes to youth, the mental health capacity has risen to about 31-35% of an increase, where teens were visiting emergency rooms due to mental health breakdowns and mental health issues because of what was going on in the home during the time of the COVID-19 pandemic. So this thing is so real. It is so widespread. And our prayer is that God will awaken us as a community to be able to see the need to be able to, no, you may not champion it, but first of all, you have to be able to believe people when they tell you what they're going through. And a lot of times people don't even believe a victim.
Yes.
And they begin to blame the victim. That's called re-victimization.
Yeah.
You cannot re-victimize a victim already. And I had to explain that to people many, many years ago and share literature with them to get them to understand the gravity of what you do when you re-victimize a victim.
Amen.
You just throw the lines away.
Amen. Oh.
But there is hope.
Yes, it is.
God,
Jesus Christ, Yeshua is our hope. Yeshua is our hope. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I want to continue, and I know that we will invite you back on when thy Lord leads me to invite guests again, because this is just the beginning. This is just the surface. And so we want to continue with this most important topic. I want to thank you, Elder Amber, again for the honor to fellowship with you and exalt our blessed Lord Jesus together. Would you please share what is the best way for our listeners to reach you?
You can actually reach me through our website, www.frompaintopurpose.net. So you can reach us through there, or you can reach me through Linktree /alions, A-L-Y-O-N-S 63. So it's Linktree /alions 63. That you can reach all of my social media. You can contact me on via Candlely and actually set up a free consultation. You can reach all of my social media platforms through that Linktree link. So I am honored to be here with you, Apostle Tanya. This has been such a blessing. Thank you so much for having me. And I pray that something that was said, whether you're going through mental, physical abuse, mental abuse, psychological abuse, verbal abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, no matter what the abuse is that you're going through, we want you to know that God is a deliverer and he is a healer. Know that you are valued. Know that God created you in his image and in his likeness. And he did not create you to be an abused person, but he created you for a purpose. So we pray that God will send someone in your path to be able to be a blessing to you, to support you, to let you know that you are not alone, to let you know that you have, that you, to connect you with resources, because we always don't have the answers, but if someone gives you a pamphlet, you can take that and give that to someone who you may need it, no, may need it. So my prayer is that God will eradicate. We deal with intervention and prevention, but we prefer to have prevention of domestic violence and teen dating violence. Those are the areas as well, and youth advocacy. So thank you so much, Dr. Tanya, for this time. Apostle Tanya.
I don't use doctor any longer, but it's fine. Okay. It's still there.
I'm in the spirit on the lowest day.
Yeah, see, now you're telling my secrets. Oh, no, I actually think it's on my Instagram handle. I know that it is. I have to use it sometimes. I would actually just prefer Tanya.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
To be here.
Amen. Dear ones, if you are in an urgent situation, I want to encourage you to seek help with your local organizations and authorities for your protection also. Elder Amber provided the 1-800 number. Please ensure, play it back. I don't know it offhand anymore. I used to know all of this before, but thy Lord called me into full-time ministry to serve the body. But make sure that you contact, if you're in a current urgent situation, you have that telephone number available. Contact your local authorities, organizations. Elder Amber has given her information. I want to also say to you, Esther Crown Ministries is here to pray for you. You may contact the ministry at 314-900-7082 or send your prayer request via email at prayer@estercrownministries.org. We are here to serve you. This was a very special ministry that thy Lord gave me several years ago before he called me and ordained me into ministry. And so my heart is still with Jesus in it. And we are here to serve you. And Elder Amber is provided her social media information. And you can also set up a meeting with her via Calendly. And so we thank you, Elder Amber, again for your time today. We thank you for the blessed fellowship. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you for continuing to serve the women and children in Atlanta, Georgia, and throughout the country. I cease not to give a thanks to thy Lord for you and make mention of you in my prayers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.